Amen. I was it's been such a week this week for me, spiritually speaking. I've had a good week, and at the same time, it's been so busy in my spirit that I've just about lost my way several times. You know, you can get so busy in your mind that you kind of lose what's happening in your spirit. So let me tell you this right quick. Night before last, I was still struggling as to what the Lord would have me share today, because we're going to get back to Revelation. Don't think you're off the hook on that. But from now until my surgery, there are things that I want to share with you for particular reasons. So I was struggling with what to say. Yesterday, I thought, boy, I think I've got a word. I'm settled on a word, you know. And that word remained with me till I got in the truck and was headed over here this morning. And the Lord said, what are you even doing, boy? I've been talking to you since last Sunday about what I was supposed to say. Our pastor made a statement last week in his message that all week long has stayed with me. He made such an impactful, incredible statement, and it shook me to my core. I couldn't get over it all week. Every day I would hear it. I could even see him standing up here and what he said to us. And when he said it, I wrote it down. And I wrote several other things down that he said. But the Holy Spirit just focused and funneled me in on that one thing. So I didn't think that the Lord wanted me to share about that today. You know, that thought didn't occur to me. So I'm struggling for a word, and this normally happens. Me and Ken's talked about this here recently. He's fixing to face the same thing, though he doesn't realize this. When you stand to speak, then you can prepare all you want to. But ultimately, when you get up there, sometimes the Lord says, you've not been listening. When you get clued in on that at the last second, that can be a little testy thing. Let me tell you what our pastor said last week, and then I'm going to share some things with you about it. He made this statement. We are made for this battle. Did y'all hear him say that? He said, we are made for this battle. Included in that statement is design and destiny. He's making this statement. God has designed you to face this battle you're facing. This battle is your defining destiny for victory. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? How many of you think we can have victory in Christ? Don't think it's free. It comes with a battle. Now, watch me. Seasoned soldiers in God's army goes from battle to battle. You can also say we go from victory to victory. Hopefully we're not going from defeat to defeat. There's causes for defeat. And by the way, watch. If you have this perspective, hey, I'm saved and that's all I need to know and I'm going to heaven, that's a wonderful thing. How many of you are going to heaven? I can ask you, what are you basing that on? And that's a good question. But let me just say this. Watch. There are a lot of people who live constantly in defeat after defeat. They are designed to live in victory after victory. But they go down to defeat because they don't respond right in the battle. You can sign up to go to heaven, and that's free. But after you get saved, it'll cost you everything you got to follow Christ. Hello? So all week, that's what's been cooking in my spirit while I was looking for another word to share. That's how ridiculous I get sometimes. All right? Now, along with that, because we're made for this battle, I want to share with you some things. We're probably not going to have time to do it all, but we're going to begin in Job chapter 10. So I want you to turn there. I don't have any slides for you today, so I need you to pay attention. All right? Job chapter 10. I'm just going to read a couple of verses, but I would ask you to read that whole chapter and get familiar with that chapter. We may make some draw some attention to a few other verses in the chapter, but you need to soak up that whole chapter to get really what Job is saying here in this passage. How many of you are familiar with the story of Job? Everybody here familiar with the story of Job? Okay, he was married, he had children, he had great wealth. Everything was going great. He was living for God. He was mature in his walk with God, indicating he had real depth in his relationship with God. And while everything was going great, all of a sudden, everything got took from him. His wealth got taken. His health got taken. His children died. His wife left him. And he is sitting there alone in just incredible misery. And he cried this out to the Lord. He said, "Though you slay me, yet will I trust you." Job had no understanding of what was going on. And he said, "Lord, I don't care if I die in this battle. I'm going to go out trusting you." In all of this, the Bible said, Job did not sin with his lips. That's an important thing. However, he still had questions. He wanted to understand it. Okay? So now before we read verse 10, let me just read the first verse. Here's how it starts here. He says, "My soul is weary of my life." Did y'all hear that? Is that sin? No. It's not sin. But it is an attitude of defeat in the battle. Okay? "My soul is weary of my life." Later on in this chapter, Job makes this allusion to this. He said, "It'd been better if I hadn't been born." Just been better if I hadn't been born. So you can understand the depth of the hurt in his soul. How many of you are getting that? All right, go back to the first verse, and he says this, "I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands and shine upon the counsel of the wicked?" These are the questions Job had with the Lord. A lot of preachers go with, they alliterate so that people can remember. And I left that a long time ago because that's sermon building and not message preaching. But in the sake of this chapter, we can make an alliteration here. Here's what's going on in chapter 10. And write this down, this because this will help you in the study of chapter 10. Job begins with a complaint. Now, if you compare Scripture to Scripture and interpret Scripture upon Scripture, here's what you'll learn. If Job did not sin with his lips, the Bible says that, then it means that it's okay to say, "Hey, God, listen, I feel like I'm about to die. I'm weary of my life. It'd been better if I hadn't been born at this point, Lord. But watch, you are making your petition and your complaint to God. Are you with me? That's not sin. It's not. Everybody says, well, it's sin to question God. No, it isn't. On the cross, Jesus said, why, God, have you forsaken me? It's not sin to question what God is doing. It is a sin to question His authority to do it. Are you with me? So Job had a complaint. Later on in the chapter, you'll find he talks about how God is contending with him. He then talks about the compassion of the Lord. But now we get to what I wanted to share with you. Look down at verse 15, and here's what Job says. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I'm full of confusion. Are y'all hearing that? Job's complaint was about his confusion. All right? Job says, I'm full of confusion. Therefore, see thou my affliction, for it increaseth. This is where Job's at. Now, it brings about some questions here. Okay, and I'm getting to something, so bear with me for just a minute. I hope I have time to develop all this out just a little. Here's the questions that confusion, and by the way, confusion, the term in the Old Testament, is different than the term confusion in the New Testament. All right, the Hebrew language and the Greek language, it makes it different, and the contexts are much different. And I'm drawing attention to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians when he says, that God is the author of peace. He's not the author of confusion. Are you with me? So there is a difference in states of confusion. In the Old Testament, confusion will mean dishonor. It can mean shame, reproach. All right? But in the New Testament, normally confusion produces questions of instability or disorder. Okay, and here's the questions it produces, and you can relate to this, and it'll tell you if you've ever been confused or if possibly you're in a state of confusion right now. If this question comes to your mind, God, what are you doing in my life? Has anybody ever had that question? I want to be so open and vulnerable at this moment. And I'm a little bit prohibited from doing that, but I just want to say that my day-to-day is a humongous, I have a humongous, this is the biggest day I've had. I don't know if I'll have energy to get through it all. I'm honest with you when I say that. And because of the events of my day-to-day, I've been saying, God, what are you doing in my life? Over the next little while, over the next month or so, I'm going to be asking God, what are you doing in my life? That is a question that normally is produced by confusion. Even bearing the emotion of shame, reproach. Lord, I feel like I'm in a disordered mess. God, what are you doing in my life? Here's another thing that question will produce. Confusion will produce. Sarah, I'm listening. Not only, God, what are you doing in my life, but this is the biggest one. God, what have I done to my life? How many of you have ever had that question? I was reflecting on these things because what's been going on in me for the last little bit has made me reflect upon past things. Now, listen, we've talked a lot about that, and you need to understand this. Listen closely to what I'm about to say here. When God created us, and it says God created man in His likeness after His image, the book of Genesis, there is a Hebrew word used in there called sekar. And here's the definition of it. It means God created the remembering ones. Did you know we're mandated of God to remember something?
and we're mandated by God to forget other things. I've said this before. We often remember what we're supposed to forget and forget the things we're supposed to remember. That's the war. That's the battle. Okay? So confusion, a state of confusion leads you to these questions. God, what have I done to my life? God, what are you doing in my life? And God, what have I done to my life? Has the way I've lived my life brought me to such a state of dishonor, shame, or disorder? These are the questions that confusion produces. Here's the big one, however. I hope y'all are listening. Here's the big question. God, what is the purpose in all of this? What is the purpose in all of this? And I'm back to what our pastor, that statement he made last week. You're made for this battle. There is a design in place. You're either, when I'm up here talking right now, you've either had some hard, how many of us had some hard times in your life? I mean, he's facing hard times now. Yeah, we all are. And can I tell you what those hard times means? Means you were designed ahead of time for this battle. Hello? Now, I'm not done. So let's read on. Here's what Job says. I'm going to read verse 15 again, chapter 10. Job said, if I be wicked, woe unto me, and if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. Job's actually saying, whether righteous or wicked, I find no comfort. Why does good things happen to bad people? The real question is why not? Why does bad things happen to good people? The question is why not? Whether you're wicked or whether you're righteous, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. In your perspective on earth, it just seems that the wicked are getting by with their wickedness and you can't get by with nothing. That's your perspective. That's what Satan wants you to see. Job goes on to say this in verse 16, it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Listen to this now. Thou renewest thy witnesses against me and increasest thine indignation upon me. Watch this. Changes and war are against me. So I'm gonna tell you what causes confusion, because everybody seems to be either spiritually confused or naturally confused. Okay? And that's the truth. And I'm going to tell you the causes of confusion. First, suffering. When you suffer, nobody's ever been abandoned, betrayed. Anybody been betrayed? By a friend or a family member. Most of the time, somebody you go to church with. Because whether you people want to admit it or not, listen, I've heard people say this. Well, you know, I don't have to go to church to be right with God. Yes, you do. You can't be right with God and not go to the house of God. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, and I hear it all the time.
Well, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven.
No, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven, but you got to go to church to be right with God. Guess why? Because God said go to church. God's book says go to church. And guess what? It says as you see the day approaching, that is the return of Christ, do it all more. Hello? So going to church is a requirement to be right with God. God designed, you are made to go to church. And when you don't do that, you're not fit for battle. But it don't stop the battle from coming. The battle's still going to come. So you're going to go into war unprepared, which is a recipe for defeat, not victory. Y'all with me so far? So in the battle is where you suffer.
and suffering is allotted to your life. Stop whining about it and get right with God. Stay right with God. Those who fix their mind on Him, God will keep them in perfect peace. You with me? So in the middle of your suffering, stop whining. Shout the victory. That's a hard word. I have to live that word, by the way. I know thereof what I speak. There's all kinds of different suffering. There's physical suffering. There's emotional suffering. There's soulish suffering. There's suffering of the mind. Listen, I've had my share of physical pain. Can I tell you, it is nothing, nothing compared to the emotional pain that you can suffer. So suffering can cause confusion. When you suffer, you are then saying, okay, God, you'll get to this point. If you haven't, you will. Okay, God, what's going on? What are you doing in my life? Or, Lord, if you would, could you reveal to me what I'm doing to my life? What am I doing that's caused this, God? Help me. I need help, Lord. You're the only one. My friends is going to condemn me. They're going to say it's my fault. And if it is, okay. But let me at least tell me what that fault is so I can repent of it. That was the attitude Job was talking about. He said, this thing's got me so weary, I'd have rather not been born. So God, you got to help me. So suffering will create confusion. Watch this. Did you see in that passage, verse 17? Change will cause confusion. He lists it. Do you know there are some people that can adapt fluidly to change? And then there are some people that if you change something, it throws them in a tailspin. Joe Barrett is a man accustomed to change. I've never seen a more adaptable creature. I'm telling you, that's the truth. How he can turn right on you and you're 15 acres removed from him and you don't even know where he's at. And he's been over 6 months. He can change. He can adapt to change. I'm built more for comfort than speed. I'm just telling you the truth. Change is something I can vision. I can have vision for. But it takes me 100 years to get up there to make that turn. That's the way I'm natured. Yeah. Shh. Repent before the Lord. Change will create a state of confusion. Job listened. Change and war, he said, are against me in that verse. You're made for this battle. It's going to change you. Hello? Okay, now watch. Here's another cause of confusion. Okay, you got suffering. You got change. Everybody say I'm listening. Sin. It'll bring confusion. Here's how you can tell if you're doing right or wrong, if you're confused about it. If you got to talk yourself into justifying something, that something is sin to you. Hello? Listen, if you have to validate something in your life or make an excuse for it, it's sin. To you. I ain't talking about coming under the condemnation of somebody else. That's what I'm going to talk about in a minute. That's what I was hoping I'd have time for. I'm saying to you that there is a huge amount of information in the teaching of the New Testament that really is summed up in one verse. It says this, I will lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset me and run the race with patience. What does that mean? That means that God sometimes requires you to lay some things down that ain't sin. But it's weighting you down. And that weight creates confusion. That confusion weakens you to be fit for the battle. Our pastor told us, you are destined, you are designed, you are made for this battle. It means that you have within you everything about life experience to bring you to this point of victory. He was not preaching that you're going to be in defeat in this battle. He was preaching that you have victory in this battle. Amen. You have to walk it out, however. And you won't if you don't lay aside the weight and the sin. You with me? And that's a personal thing. Now we're into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? What God speaks to me, He may not speak to you. What God requires of me, He may not require of you. What God requires of you, He may not require of me. Now watch, I'm going to make this statement. God's hearing me, and I've searched my heart on this in times past, and I'm pretty well solidly got it nailed down inside of me. Now watch, listen. In things of this earth, I don't change quick. In things of the Spirit, oh, how I change. I can move with lightning speed in the Spirit. And that's one thing about this day to day. I have to move with lightning speed in minutes to adapt and change. God, what are you doing in my life? Change hunts me. Change hunts me. Every bit of what I'm telling you is what God downloaded to me in my pickup truck coming from Statesville over here this morning. And it leads me to this passage, and I've got a few minutes to share it with you. Romans 14. Turn there. Turn there. You've got to hear this. Everybody say, I'm listening. Have you heard me so far? Job, such confusion. I'm in a state of confusion, Lord. Change and war hunts me, is what he said. I'm suffering. I have been labeled as a sinner. All of these things, change, sin, suffering, brought him to a state of confusion. I'm convinced of what I'm telling you, especially to Grace Place, because, by the way, I'm teaching this, and I say this, bless y'all's heart. Do you realize how stuck with me y'all are? And I don't think you do. I'm just now learning myself. Really. And honest, can I tell you, I love you so much. And I love this place so much. It's unlike any place I've ever been to. And the spiritual personality of all the people that's here is what's created that. I felt it at times at Shiloh. It was so unique. It was so different, you know, and I felt at home there for a season. Okay, and I never thought that I would ever feel at home again like that. And especially not here. Really, I'm honest with you. But I come here and all of a sudden I find myself connected and intertwined into the DNA of what this place is. And I think, how did this even happen? God, what are you doing in my life? I'm confused. Yeah. But can I tell you, for such a time as this, oh boy, for such a time as this, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And then I hear our pastor look at me and say, you're made for this battle. Oh dear God. You're made for this battle. You're designed to be victorious. Whew. By mandate of God, I have to declare, whether I feel it or not, it's beyond. I have to declare, because I'm made for this battle, watch this, I'm healed. Because you're going to be stuck with me for a while. For some odd reason, you knuckleheads need me here. And I need you. But if we're going to do this, we got to lay down some ground rules. All right? And Romans 14 has the best ground rules that has factored into my life in almost every way that I think. And if honestly, I'm going to read just a little bit of it. I'm going to make four statements about it, or three. I've told you to read Job 10. You better read Romans 14, because Romans 14 describes this church, of which, by the way, you're a part of. I can't say that loud enough. I'm going to just take this liberty. You do not have permission of God to leave this place. I'm saying that because I know that during a time of battle, that will come up as a question in somebody's mind. Always does. The enemy knows if he can pick a few off. You know, if I can pick this one off right here. So it's always going to be a question in your mind. What? You do not have permission from God to leave this place. Get out of your mind. It don't matter where you go to church. It does matter where you go to church. Yeah. It matters greatly where you go to church. It matters more so now where you go to church than it ever has before in the history of time. And don't think that Jesus is not about the local church. He is. Listen, there wouldn't be a Ruatan club if nobody showed up. And there won't be a Grace Place if you don't show up. Just say amen to the truth. And there won't be a Grace Place if you don't sow into the Grace Place so there can be a Grace Place. So quit your selfishness and start being obedient to God, or the battle's going to take so much out of us, we're going to be in defeat collectively. I'm going to be victorious whether you are or not. But I want us to collectively have victory, right? Here's the DNA of our church. Romans 14. Him that is weak in the faith, receive. But not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Uh-oh. That's deeper than you think it is. Here's the principle that I'll have time. I'm going to make this one statement. I was going to make four. I'm going to make one. Maybe if God allows, we'll pick it up another time. This is why we need to come to church more. There's too much to say at one time, and you can't get it all in, but you need all of the information. I'm going to give you this piece of it. This is what this verse says, okay? I'm going to make a stand on this. Lordship, which is different than salvation. How many of you know Jesus is Lord? There is a big difference between you knowing He is Lord and Him being Lord of your life. Right. How many of you know Him as Savior? That's salvation. Lordship is something you grow into after you're saved. Right. Yes. It's being able to discern inside of yourself what is sin and what is not. It is proof of weakness if the pastor has to tell you what is sin. Did you hear me? It's proof of shallowness. If we are being led by the Spirit to preach against sin, it's because we're having to define it for others. That's why God does that. But that's not God's ultimate plan for a preacher. Do you know whose job that is? The Holy Spirit. He's supposed to lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit. What God should be allowing is for us to preach depth of relationship to the Holy Spirit. Then the release of the Holy Spirit in your life is to tell you what is right and what is wrong. Are y'all with me? Okay, so watch this. Here's what that says. If lordship with Jesus Christ is not with men but with God, which it is, everybody say amen. Amen. Here's what that tells us. Here's what that means. Please hear this. That means that you are mandated by God to receive him that believes he can eat everything, as well as those who only eats herbs. Y'all are not, Okay, you've got to hear this. Lord, please open spiritual eyes to the depth of this, because it goes both ways. Listen to me. I can't help this. I've got a couple of minutes. I have to draw attention to this. Alan Caldwell walked in. Stand up, Alan. Yeah. Look at him back there. I want you to look at him. That's his wife, Rebecca. Okay, watch. We're going to have to really fast and pray because Rebecca's here. All right. Stand back up, Alan. I ain't done with you. Stand back up. I can't see because of the glare, and I'm blind. But can y'all see Alan? All right, look at him. Overalls, beard, old hat. I want you to look at that man. Now listen to this. You can sit down, Alan. We don't even like you. Sit down. Okay, so watch this. Listen, did you know that Alan Caldwell, in the spirit, when we were working together at the church and state, was probably one of the best friends I've ever had. And co-laborer. Okay? And I could trust him. That's huge. I could trust him. Now, as raggedy as that man looks, he would come in and sit next to a man named Ken Adams. Can I tell you about Ken Adams? When he came to church, suit and tie, pocket poof was perfect. I'm telling you the truth. Pocket poof was perfect. And I'm sharing this story for a reason. There's a purpose behind it. Pocket poof, okay? He was also Presbyterian. Now, buddies, let me tell you something. We were a loud church. Okay? Alan Caldwell sitting next to Ken Adams, and all of a sudden, a breath from the Holy Spirit blew by. Two totally different personalities. Two totally different cultures. Two totally different mindsets. And here comes the Holy Spirit. And Ken Adams became the biggest shouter of our church. That's what he'd do right there. I've shared this story before. I've shared this story. Ken Adams called me one time and said, I want you to ride with me to Hickory. I got in the car with him, was going down the interstate. I didn't think nothing of it. I looked up, it was a beautiful day. And I said, Ken, didn't Jesus bless us with a beautiful day? He was driving and he went, woo! And his head got under the steering wheel. And I'm driving the interstate. I was trying to think of some sin I could do to call him out of, or we were going to die. Listen, he would just go crazy. He maintained his personality. Alan maintained his personality. Now watch this, listen to me. That scripture says you got to receive him that eats and receive him that eats not. And it said this, those that only eat herbs, they're the weak ones. It's in the book. Do you know what convictions are for? It's to protect the weak ones. Can I tell you, I shared this with, I'm done here. Do you know why God called me to preach? Because I'm the weak one. I wouldn't survive no other way. God designed me and made me to do this. Because if I don't, I would be wayward and lost and in sin. I'm so weak that I can't leave for a second His presence in my mind, or my mind will wander off into sin. I'm so weak that I can't go to certain places. Or it'll kill me. I'm so weak that I require big battles so that I can stay up close to His side. I'm so weak that I have to be despised of men, or I won't cling to Him as close as I should. You are made for this battle. But your victory hangs in the balance on how you will respond. He must be Lord of your life. If He's not, you're going to end up in a state of confusion. And the answers will never come. Changes and war hunt you. Changes is coming in your life. Some of you called to change today. Have y'all heard what I've said? Father, we thank You for Your word. Take rambled thoughts and make sense out of it to those that will listen, and grow them deeper in the faith. And thank You for the word that You give our pastor that challenges us to our core. And we give You praise for all You do. Be with us in the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.